on the way to the top floor. I ain't selling out though, but I'm on the way. Got a lot of real, must motivate. Hold all the moves, I'ma put in play. On the way.
Motivation for all the real nigga.
On the way. On the way to the big check. You ain't know I'm up next, but I'm on the way. You ain't take risks, cause you too afraid. I'ma just eat till I'm overweight. On the way. On the way.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode. And before we start this episode, I want to encourage all our listeners to please subscribe and rate our channel. We definitely appreciate that. Also, feel free to give us feedback. Like I said, all three of those things, we definitely appreciate it. I just want to start the show off and letting you guys know. And here's another episode. I hope you all enjoy it.
What's up, y'all? This episode is sponsored by Park Hill Consulting Services. If you are interested in learning how to purchase your first investment property, or you need some help getting your finances in order so that you can purchase your first investment property, just contact us at www.parkhillconsultantservices.com and we can get you started. We hope you guys enjoy the rest of this episode. What's up, you guys? Welcome to another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. My name is Deanna Kent and I'm sitting here with my co-host Xavier Miller.
What's up, what's up?
And today we have another special guest. For today's podcast, we have Rashad Bilal. He's the host of Earn Your Leisure podcast and an entrepreneur. Welcome to the show, Rashad.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate
it. We're excited that you came on. And the first question we always ask our guests is like, just what was the start to all the things you're doing now? What was the start to that? Just giving a little background on yourself.
The start of podcast or just in general?
No, just in general. Everything.
I come from New York. Just grew up like, you know, regular kid. I wanted to be a basketball player when I was young.
Right.
Like everybody else. Uh-huh. You know, I was gonna try to go to the NBA. That was like my first passion was like basketball. I always liked business as well. I played basketball my whole life and then went to a couple different schools and was fortunate enough to get a scholarship. Graduated from the University of Hawaii. And I went overseas for a little bit to try to test the waters to play professionally overseas, and that didn't really work out. So I came back, and I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I kind of tried my hat at being a financial advisor just to, you know, see if I would like it, kind of tip my toes in the water. And that was 11 years ago. I've been doing that ever since. So, yeah, that's pretty much, you know, my journey is from, you know, just growing up sports to being in business.
And that's super dope. And because I remember when I first called on to you, this had to be like a year ago, bro. And your page, it was more like personal, but you would talk about basketball a lot too. So that's how I knew you was already a hooper, because you were talking about basketball a lot back then. So that's just seeing your growth along the way. It's been super, super dope.
But yeah, I appreciate that.
Definitely. But now getting to finances. What was the start of that got you into like, all right, let me financial literacy, getting your money right, helping people get their money right?
Yeah, so, you know, financial, like I always liked business my whole life. Like that was something I was just always interested in, is just investing money. Like business just always interested me. So I knew I always wanted to have a career in business. I just wasn't sure like which path I wanted to take. So, you know, when I did the financial planning thing, it was really just a, that was like the easiest option for me, honestly, to get into the world of finance, was to be a financial advisor. You know, I passed a couple of tests and I started working with an insurance company. And that was just like an easy way to kind of get my foot in the door, because, you know, they, how it worked, they don't really have a lot of, they have a lot of different people that come in that door that don't make it, because it's not really any money that they pay. You get paid off a commission for the most part. So for the company, it's easy to get a job as like selling insurance and investments and being like a financial advisor, because a lot of people won't make it. So that was, and I didn't study business in college. I studied communications in college. So I didn't have a business background. So that was like a way for me to get in. And then from there, teaching financial literacy, my best friend Troy, who I do the podcast with now, he's a teacher. And he used to teach in the Bronx, and he asked me to come speak to his kids one day. And that was my first time actually like talking to kids about finances, and I actually liked it. And then from there, he has a summer program. So I started teaching, like I became like an adjunct, like high school teacher almost. I developed like a curriculum for 6 weeks, financial literacy curriculum. And then that kind of led to my Instagram page, like developing my own personal brand on Instagram, like teaching people financial literacy, but using like pop culture and music, sports, right, and stuff like that as a way to like get the message across. And then from there, people just wanted like more dialogue, extended dialogue. And they kept asking for a podcast. So I thought a podcast would be a good way to just have more of an extended conversation. So we started the podcast. And yeah, that's where we're at now. So
wow, that's super dope. And with like, what's so dope, what's really dope about that, what stood out was how you was talking about speaking in schools with the and stuff like that. And like, we always talk about the school curriculum, how it's pretty much not as productive to young, especially Black people, for real. You know what I'm saying? Like the stuff they teaching, it really don't matter. Like I had a conversation on Twitter. I posted on Twitter saying how like 11 skills they don't teach you in school. And I said financial literacy was one of them. And when somebody was like, what? They do teach that in school. I learned that in college. And I'm like, yo, you got to wait till you in college to learn about money. It's a rap. It's damn near a rap already. Because
even a lot of colleges don't teach that. Like, exactly. I never took a financial literacy class in college. So that's not like something that is widely taught in college. Even in business school, they don't really teach you a lot of practical stuff. They teach you like supply and demand and different things of that nature. It's more like theories and stuff like that, but they're not showing you the inner workings of how to do stuff or the inner workings of personal finance for the most part. So it's really not, for the most part. It's taught some schools, but for the most part, it's not taught school at all.
Yeah. And something that I just thought about, that I seen you had a video. This, like I said, this was a while ago, and you was in a class and you were saying how you were showing like $50,000 but on the card. And that was like that simple breakdown is such mind opening. Like, I wish somebody would have told me something like that when I was like in eighth grade. Cause that's game that people don't really, you know what I'm saying? You don't think of it like that from that perspective, but you might go on. You know what I'm talking about? You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, for sure. I told the kids, I was going to show them $1,000, and you know, they're like ninth and 10th graders. So of course, you know, they got excited about that. They thought it was going to be like $50,000, like rap video, like in a bag, like that. But you know, I just pulled out a couple credit cards, and I'm like, no, this is, you know, $50,000. Like, this is the same. It's just as good as cash. Like, you can go and you can buy anything that you can use cash for, you can use credit for. Actually, you could probably buy more things on credit than you can use cash. And but I explained to them, like, you know, it's not free money. Like, you got to pay it back. So then we talked about interest rates. We talked about how people fall, because it's very tempting for people to get money on a credit card and spend it. And this is why, you know, a lot of people fall into debt, is because even as adults, it's tempting. And, you know, you use it for the wrong things all the time. You don't have enough money to pay it back. You have a high interest rate before you know it. You end up paying like three times more than what you actually used it for. So, yeah, that just kind of led the conversation into like what credit cards are, what interest rates are. And I just try to do stuff like that, even with the podcast. I just try to relate messages in ways that, you know, that the regular person can understand. Even kid, like I try to, like I say, like, okay, can a kid understand this? I feel like if a kid can't understand it, then it's too complicated. I need to make it a little easier to understand. So that's kind of like how I break it down in my mind.
You mentioned that a lot of people use credit cards for the wrong reasons. And I know, like, one thing, when I talk to like a lot of people around our age, or like college students, they don't know how to properly use a credit card or what you should be using it for. So as far as using your credit card the right way, what would you recommend, how they should do it?
Yeah. So I would use credit cards for things that you have to use money for. So like, you get gas for your car, groceries, stuff like that, where you can pay it off at the end of the month. So these things, because part of building credit cards are a good way to build credit. So you want to use it in a responsible manner and try to pay it off in full or almost full every single month. So the easy way to do that is to use it, like I said, on things that you're already going to spend money on anyway, like gas, like food, like, you know, if you take the public transportation, take the train or something like that, like you use your credit card for those things, because you're going to have to spend money on that anyway. Right. But not only while using the credit card help build up your credit, but you can actually, you know, a lot of credit cards have point systems and reward systems. So you can actually make money on that as well. So that is how we use credit cards. It's only something that you can afford to pay back at the end of the month, and things that you're already going to have to use and get anyway.
Right. That's real. And something that I want to ask is, was I'm kind of intrigued by, and I always like ask people this, that I see giving out game stuff, I always try to ask them this question, like, what's the inspiration behind that? Because that's something that you don't have to do. You know what I mean? Like, you don't got to do that. You can have this info, do what you do. You know what I'm saying? Your life be straight. Like, so what's the inspiration behind you giving that information out there to help people, you know what I'm saying, get their money together?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, it's just like, you know, I enjoy it. I like teaching, and I like sharing information. Like, it's, you know, and then it's another way to actually help you learn too. Like, whenever you teach, it helps you learn because you have to study what you're teaching to make sure it's on point. You answer questions and stuff like that. And then especially from the podcast standpoint, it's a great networking tool, and I learn. Like, so it's even like, you know, that's another thing too. You can never act like you know everything. Right. There's plenty of stuff that I don't know. So every time I bring somebody on and they tell about a different industry or something like that, I'm learning. So it's also like, from a selfish standpoint, it's free education for myself because I'm learning from firsthand
right.
from these people, and I'm developing relationships with these people as well. So
That's dope, man. That's dope. So, and something else I wanted to touch on was I see you doing, well, I think with the podcast, you're doing a college tour, correct?
Yeah, that's something that we're working on. Yep.
Yeah. So I seen, I'm like, man, that's cold, bro. Like, that's a salute to y'all for real. That's cold. And like,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, like that goes back to like the curriculum talk. Like, the information that's being given is, you got to go, you really got to go on a hunt to find that, because the schools ain't really going to tell you for real. Mm-hmm. So with y'all making y'all way around, going to different schools and giving the information out, that's going to be life changing to a lot of people.
I hope so. Hopefully so, man. I appreciate that. That's the thing. It's like, you know, a lot of our listeners are young. So we feel like college tour would be a good idea because, it's, you know, it's just going right directly to where they're at and try to, you know, educate them while they're still early, so if they don't, you know, make the same mistakes that a lot of people made when they were, you know, older, when they get out of college. It's like, if we can educate them early on, even when kids are in high school, if we can educate them early on, right. then they'll be in a better position when they become adults.
Facts, facts. Mm-hmm. That's real. And I see you on the same
thing. I was going to say, like, I know you're going to probably, like, talk to a million different people and heard a bunch of different scenarios, but what would you say are some of the most common mistakes people make when it comes to their finances?
Just not having a plan, not putting together a plan, not budgeting correctly, and not educating themselves, really. That's what it really comes down to. Just, you know, a lot of times people are not properly educated. And whenever you're not educated, you're going to make mistakes. Right. And that's true in anything in life. So I think the biggest thing, financial literacy is something that's really important. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that people lack in, is that they're not literate. They don't understand money. They don't understand why investments make sense, and they, you know, so they just make bad decisions out of ignorance.
Mm-hmm. And that's, man, and that's a deep conversation to have for real, because like once again, especially in our community, the Black community, is like I have a conversation a lot with some people. They'll be like, okay, we doing bad because we don't have access, or this, and you know what I'm saying. What do you think is the reason, like, within our community where we a lot of times are so bad when it comes to money, handling money?
I think that a lot of different reasons. I think one of the reasons is ignorance. One of the reasons is the environment. Like, if you're raised around people and, you know, your family's a big part. So if your family is not knowledgeable on money, then you 9 times out of 10 won't be knowledgeable on money, because everything is passed down. It's just like, people say, like diabetes and all of that stuff is genetic. That's what you're eating. But if you decide to become a vegan, then you're not going to have that for the same, because you changed your whole family's trajectory. So it's the same thing with money. I think that in our community, it's a lot of different things, but family is a big thing. Temptation is a big thing, as far as, you know, we're very emotional when it comes to a lot of different things. And we're very emotional when it comes to money. We make emotional decisions. And, like, you know, we want instant gratification. Right. So we want to buy jewelry. We want to buy the best looking car. We want to buy the nicest clothes. These are things that we're Black people are very big on impressing other people. And other communities are not that big on it. Everybody has an ego, but Black people are more so. We're more consumers. Our nature, we're trained to be consumers. So that's something that we have to get retrained ourselves and get out of that mindset. But that's something that I think I see. And then just a lot of influences, like even like in pop culture and music and stuff like that. It's a lot of influence to spend money, like blow money fast. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a heavy influence. If you look at it, it's like, even like the music that you listen to, after a while, without you even knowing it, it influences your decision making. So all your favorite rappers are talking about blowing money fast, getting money and buying jewelry and doing this, and you're going to think the same way. You might not be on that level, but on your level, you're gonna go to the club, you're gonna go to, you know, you're gonna buy bottles, you're gonna do that. And that's mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you're never gonna be able to generate wealth if you're just constantly just spending money.
That's the real thing.
I agree 100%. And I like the fact that you brought up a lot of it stems from family members too, because a lot of things you see within our community is like it's an ongoing cycle that never breaks. And it's like the blind leading the blind. And it's like we gotta take a step back and look like, If you grew up in a home, your parents were struggling financially, then you got to find it within yourself to make change for the next generation. You can't just follow the bad things that they did and think it's going to, you know, work out in your favor. So we got to learn how to take that accountability with our finances and do better.
Yeah. Or use it as excuse for, you know, some people just be like, man, I grew up like this. You know, this is all I know. So that's how a lot of people are with their situation, for real.
Yeah.
It's when you had this conversation, it's real deep, and I feel like it's so important right now, because I feel like we have to, like, in this information age, and it's information everywhere. It's like how I personally feel is like there's no excuse anymore, but that's my opinion. Some people disagree with me. They like, you know, I'm in this situation X, Y, and Z. Like, I was talking to somebody and he was like, I was pretty much saying how, you know what I'm saying, you could, if you just get your mind right, you could get out your situation. And he was like, well, I could believe whatever I want to believe, but tomorrow I'm still wake up in the projects. And I'm like, I don't even know what to say to this person, because we on two different, you know what I'm saying, frequencies with it. So it's like, it's always kind of strange. I see people on different sides of the spectrum, and it's like, yo, I can get it. And then some people that's like, yo, X, Y, Z, this barrier in place, this barrier in place. So like within our community, it's like a battle between like those who, like, doing what you doing what we doing, and the other side of that, people like, man, y'all selling bullshit. It's like a false hope. Everybody can't get their money, right? Everybody, you know what I'm saying? So what you think about that?
I mean, the harsh reality of life is that everybody's not going to make it.
Right.
That's just the reality of it. So it's like, you know, I just said this actually on my live, like, Harriet Tubman, she said, like, I freed hundreds of slaves. Right. I could have freed thousands if they knew that they were slaves. So, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people's mindset is just never going to change. But you can't worry about that. You know, you can just try to help the people that are willing. Because nobody, you can't help anybody that doesn't want to be helped. Like, you know, it's like they said, like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So the reality of it is that, unfortunately, a lot of people are just so mentally, you know, disenfranchised that they're never going to be able to think that they can put themselves in a position to have money, because they don't feel like they deserve it. That's another thing too. A lot of people don't feel like they deserve to be in a better place. Like, mentally, a lot of people are perfectly fine with being on their corner, on their block, and that's, they don't have any aspirations further than that. So, you know, and ultimately people move whenever they're ready to. It's like, some people might not get it now, but they might get it 5 years from now, or they might get it 10 years from now. So everybody, you know, has to receive information and digest it whenever they can, or if they feel like it. But the unfortunate reality is that not everybody's going to make it, and not everybody wants to make it. So one of those things is like, what can you do?
Yeah, that's when you put it that way, that's kind of crazy, especially when you said, like, they don't feel like they deserve it, or I guess worthy enough or whatever. And that's real right there. A lot of people, just based on comment, they ain't got to say it, but just some of the shit people say is like, damn, you don't feel like you know what I'm saying, you should be in that place, which is, that's you dealing with some other shit, then, which is probably, you got to go way deeper than that. So that's real. That's definitely real, man. And
it's like, I'm a big music fan. I remember Jadakiss said something one time, he's like, too much time spent in the hood of how you program. And like, that's real. It's like, the hood is more of, it's a mentality. It's a physical place, but it's also a mentality. So it's like, you can carry that mentality anywhere in the world. Like, you could be in a nice neighborhood and turn that into the hood. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Because you still have that same mindset. Mm-hmm. So it's unfortunate, but a lot of people have a mindset where all they want to do is work. All they want to do is just live off credit. All they want to do is just do unproductive things. And this is something that, unfortunately, some people just will never get out of that mindset. they just won't.
Man, that and when we, it's so crazy when you see like the hood, how you program. It's so crazy because when you actually there, we were just having this conversation this week. Like, you don't think nothing of it. Like, since I've been in California for 5 years, you know what I'm saying? So I've been removed from a lot of like environments and stuff that like I ain't used to it no more. So now shit that was normal to me, now when I see it, I'm like, whoa. I went to the hood a couple of days ago to get something to eat. Like I said, like I'm in Cali, I don't be in the hood though. I'm in Cali now and shit. So I pull up as soon as I pull up, I get out of my car, somebody just pop up on me out of nowhere, like, hey man, let me get a dollar. I'm like, yo, I'm ready to like, yo. And I'm thinking like, yo, this like 5 years ago, I was just like, oh, that ain't no big deal. You know what I'm saying? Niggas outside. But now I'm like, yo, what kind of shit? Like, like this ain't normal, bro. And like, it was like hella like weird stuff happening. And I was only there for 20 minutes. So I'm like, just imagine, like, I already know you there all the time. None of this faze you for real. But when you remove from it, it's like, damn, you look at shit totally different when you remove from it.
So that's, y'all living like this?
No, for real. That's not like, and I'm not trying to like make myself better than nobody or nothing. I'm just saying, like, when you get out of certain situations, you really get to see it for what it is for real. Once you remove yourself. So, and that's deep on a whole another level. And that also goes to, I feel like this kind of goes to a topic when people talk about, like, this is something we talk about often, gentrification. And like, that's a big topic, especially right now. And what do you think about those topics when we talk about gentrification within our communities and stuff?
Yeah, I think that gentrification is something that, you know, it's been happening for a long time, and it's going to continue to happen. And you know, it's a very touchy topic, and it's a very complex topic.
Right.
But there's a lot of different factors that come into play, and I think that one of the things that everybody has to value the neighborhood, because if you don't value something, and then somebody else comes in and they find value in it. Now, you can't be mad at that person that found value in something that you didn't find value in. So there's a lot of different factors with discrimination and not, I get it, but even like you go to any hood in America and there's just little stuff like trash on the street. Like, it's like you see a garbage right there. Why would you throw your bottle on the street?
Right.
That's because you don't value
right
where you live. Like, that's what I'm saying, you're not valuing your neighbor. So by you not valuing your neighborhood, you never see that in a middle class neighborhood. You never see that in a rich neighborhood where somebody literally walks past a garbage can and just throws something in the street. So right. It's like little stuff like that. So when it comes to gentrification, it's like, of course we have to be you know, on the curb of that. We have to invest in our neighborhoods. But before even that, we got to value our neighborhoods, and we got to actually see it, because a lot of neighborhoods, you could have brought property in if you had the wherewithal to see. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even in like New York, Harlem, Brooklyn, a lot of these neighborhoods, properties were very cheap, and now they're not cheap anymore.
Right.
But a lot of people from the neighborhood that had money, they didn't buy property. They moved to the suburbs or they moved to Jersey. It's like that everywhere. So now if they would have bought property in their neighborhood, they would have been able to build buildings and do stuff for their own people. But now somebody else did it, and now everybody's mad about it. So
yeah, that's facts, man. Like, that's because, like, gentrification, like, growing up, I remember just hearing that word. And every time I heard that word, it was like something bad attached to it. And it was like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't have my own opinion because I didn't know I was a kid. So I'm hearing gentrification, and it's always like, oh, white people coming in, they kind of ripping the buildings from under us. And I'm like, damn, that's fucked up. But now that I'm older as an adult and I see it, I'm like, it's like, from my opinion, the truth is, like, a lot of times we don't value, like you said, we don't put enough value in our communities or ourselves. So if somebody else see that, of course they're going to come in, they see you got a cheap ass building and just buy it from under you and make it whatever it is, whatever it is they want it to be. Because at the root of it, it's all a mentality for real. Ain't nobody different from the next person. It's just they got a mentality as, okay, I'm gonna take care of this neighborhood. I ain't gonna let nobody be, you know, doing no bullshit, selling drugs, throwing shit on the corner, shit like that. So that's pretty much how I see it. At the end of the day, it's really a mentality. We could gentrify our own hoods if we want to. You know what I'm saying? All it is taking the money, buying it up, and fix, you know what I'm saying? Do whatever you want to do with it. So That's just how I see it. I know a lot of, when I had this conversation, sometimes a lot of people, they get offended because they feel like, all right, well, we ain't got the access to the resources or whatever. And like, I always say, like, that's bullshit. Like, because I know where I'm from. You go to the west side of Chicago, you're going to see all kinds of foreigns. You're going to see $1,000 shoes. You're going to see, yeah, yo, whatever, like, the highest end of fashion, whips. You're going to see all that shit within a 3-4 block radius. So it's like, a person can't tell me that we don't got the resources to do some shit, yo. Especially if we, especially if we collectively, like, grouping our money. You know what I'm saying? We could do whatever, but I don't know. That's the whole, it's like some people, a lot of people there yet, but some people, I feel like the majority is still like, that's far-fetched. Like, man, get the fuck out of here. I ain't trying to do that.
that's real, it's
I don't know, man. It's I want to ask you also about branding, because this is a conversation that also a lot of people, they like to hear people talk about, with you creating a well-known podcast, creating a real-known personal brand yourself. What do you think are the key things, because there's so many people that's trying to build their brand, but they probably like, man, this shit, it's a struggle. I've been doing it for a year. I ain't getting no results. What do you think is the key to it?
I think the key, bro, to me is just to be original. I think that that's one of the things that a lot of people lack is creativity and originality. Exactly. And you really, what I realized is that you really can't teach somebody creativity. The best thing is if you're not a creative person, then you might want to just hire somebody who is a creative person and have them do it for you. Mm. But a lot of people, especially in business, a lot of business people don't have creativity.
Right.
And I see it all the time. Just like, it's just common sense for how I see it. And I like to see, think of myself as a more creative person, because I was actually, I always liked art. I was always into other stuff besides business. So the creative side for me is something that I was always passionate about. But I think people don't have really imaginations, and they want to just copy what they see somebody else do, because what works for me might not work for somebody else. So it's about digging deep and seeing, okay, who am I as a person, and how can I make that valuable to other people? So creativity, originality, and consistency. That's another thing too. A lot of people is just not consistent. It's like, you're building a brand, you got to be consistent. That's the hardest part. And it's like, you know, when nobody's looking, are you still going to put out 3 Instagram clips a day? Like, you know what I mean? Like, when literally nobody's watching it at all, it becomes discouraging and it can be frustrating. But that's the only way you're going to build to when the whole world is watching, but you just don't start off with everybody in the world watching, you know? So staying in it for the long haul and having the endurance to it's like Nipsey says, a marathon. Like, a lot of people just want to get in and just, they quit after, like, you know, a couple of months. I'm like, I'm going to try something else. But to, you know, stay down and really just stay consistent, and then to have the creativity, and then to be unique as well. To me, that's the biggest way to build the brand, in my opinion. Yeah.
And
I feel like another important thing that I noticed with your brand is that even with you talking about financial literacy, you still made it appealing to, like, the youth,
right.
You know, to the average person, because, you know, we're just programmed to want to see entertainment and all the little drama, you know, all that, you know, flashy stuff. But you've made it where you've built, like, such a big brand, and you've made financial literacy, in a sense, cool, something right. that people want to see and learn more about. And you've used pop culture to intertwine the two.
Yeah,
I mean, the people, it's like if you ever have peanut butter, like if you have Jif, like I grew up on like Jiffy peanut butter, like the cheap peanut butter.
Yeah.
And then like when I became more health conscious, I started eating organic peanut butter. So if you ever had like organic peanut butter, you know, it's like oil at the top.
Yep.
You got to mix it. It's like a whole process.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start to eat it, you realize it tastes so much better than the process. Now I can't even taste the other one. It tastes disgusting. The same thing with like white bread versus wheat bread. Like the real healthy is always going to be better, but we're just, so I say that to say, people are so programmed with nonsense, but deep down they want something that's beneficial. They want something that's educational. So if you can give it to them, they realize like they've been craving for that. Like, I mean, because they've been craving for that because they've been reality TV, the music. It's just so much nonsense that they just get fed. But you just have to just feed it to them, and they might not like the taste of it at first, but after a while, They'll prefer the taste of that over something that's nonsense, because then you realize how much time you wasted in your life. just doing nothing and watching nonsense and listening to the nonsense, and it's not elevating you. It's not taking you anywhere. So education is something, in my opinion, that is always going to be entertaining to people as long as they can actually grasp it and understand it. People will always gravitate towards education. And it's something that, this is why education is a business, and it's never going to go out of business, because people, deep down, people have a yearning to learn. The key is just to kind of convince them that they need to learn something and give it to them in a way that they can listen and they can accept it. So that's kind of my philosophy on it.
Yep, that's dope. And I want to go back to something you said about originality, because that's so important to me. Where I feel like a lot of people, especially right now, is missing, because you can go on Instagram and you could just see results from so many people. You just see the end result. So you just, instead of you taking the time to the hard part, which is actively thinking of something yourself, you see, boom, okay, there go, here's the result. I'm gonna emulate that. So it's like, in a way, like, do you think with like social media, do you think it's kind of killing originality in a lot of people?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are copying what somebody else is doing. But I think that's always been the case, right? It's like, we live in a copycat society. And people always want to just copy whatever the most popular thing is. Social media is probably just amplifying that, because you just seeing it every day. So now you just have more opportunity to be a follower. But yeah, I think social media is playing a big part in lack of originality, because it's more opportunity to copy somebody because you're just seeing it all the time.
That's real. I asked that question, like, literally just popped up in my mind. I was thinking about it, like, damn, that's probably, because you could see certain people emulating, like, you could just watch it and see, like, oh, he got that from so-and-so, or he doing that, because, you know what I'm saying, it's easy to spot. So it's like, damn, that kind of, it's kind of putting two and two together now. And something else I want to ask you, because I, like you said earlier, I know you were a big sports guy. So, and like, but I like to kind of make my references, like, if I'm talking about money, I kind of like to do the sports references. So this kind of like off topic right now, but I know you play ball or whatever. So I always ask this question when I know people that like ball: Who you think? I'm gonna just say this: Kobe or LeBron?
LeBron. LeBron, my favorite player of all time.
Hey, you just got some extra points with me, dog. Okay, I was expecting you to say Kobe, bro. I was expecting you to say Kobe for real. So all right, let me get the LeBron and Mike.
I mean, for me, I just had this conversation actually yesterday. Literally just had this conversation yesterday. To me, LeBron's the best player of all time, because I feel like he can do more things. He's more versatile than any other player ever. But, you know, of course, Michael Jordan's track record is impeccable. Is, you know, you, so I'm not mad at anybody for saying that Michael Jordan is better than LeBron. I mean, but for me personally, if I had to pick one player, I would pick LeBron, because I just feel like he's more versatile. He can do more things. I just, you know, I feel like he's the most complete player.
Yeah, I agree. And you ain't gonna know. Look, she's smiling. Look, people, Cleveland. I'm from Chicago, and I agree with you. Say, I think LeBron the GOAT to me, hands down, just based on he could do everything. And that's not even mentioning the off court shit, where it's like, you know, we know
what off court, he's definitely the GOAT.
Yeah. Off court, but that's like, that conversation is unique to me, because it's like, we can see now Mike is doing some certain things for the community. He doing it like silently, kind of. You know what I'm saying? You hear about you hear about certain things, but you know he not in the camera doing it. When we see LeBron, he's out there. He's showing you, like, okay, giving inspiration. Where Jordan is more behind the scenes. And my question is, like, I don't want to say which one is more effective, but like, yeah, pretty much, like, which way do you think? Do you think it's better? Because we all know we hear stuff where you be like, man, if you black and you giving out this game, you helping out this many people, you know, the government, they gonna, you know what I'm saying? You're going to get set up. They're going to kill you or something. You know what I'm saying? So you're like, do you think, like, it's better for someone that's as, like, a black person to be in the forefront, you know what I'm saying, giving game, like, being accessible to people, or to be behind the scenes and making shit happen?
I think it depends. I think everybody's different. Everybody's, you know, how they operate, how they move is different. Like, some people, like Jay-Z and Beyonce, they're just more reserved people. and they might not want to be in the spotlight for everything that they do. Some people, like Muhammad Ali, like LeBron James, is more outspoken. So I think that there's benefits in both, and both are needed. I feel like, of course, the more outspoken you are, you know, it's just, it's better as far as, you know, it's just more visible.
Right.
And you can affect more people. But a good deed is always welcome, whether it's behind closed doors, whether it's for the world to see. So I don't knock anybody for doing stuff and nobody knowing about it, because ultimately that's still better than doing something, not doing anything at all. I think it just depends on the person. But of course, you know, when everybody's aware of it, that always helps, because just bringing awareness to something is beneficial within itself. So I think both are needed. And once again, I think it just depends on the personality and whatever choice that the person makes.
That's real. And I also, I kind of believe that we at a stage right now, it's kind of like, so I heard somebody else say this, like, this is a beginning of like the Black Renaissance for real, as far as wealth consciousness, because that talk is becoming more and more popular within the community. Talks about ownership, talks about things like that, where like years ago it was more about other things. And then like what you doing with your podcast doing, like y'all are at the forefront of that conversation. Like, you know what I'm saying? Bringing this to people, bridging the gap for people that's not as like interested in things like this. So how do you feel about that?
No, I agree. I think that the tide is definitely turning, and financial literacy is in season right now. Yeah. So it's popular. Even if you listen to the music, you know, it's popular in the music now, and people making decisions and investing is cool and stuff like that. So financial literacy is definitely in season, and hopefully it's not a fad. Hopefully it stays around forever. But I definitely think that it's a good time to spread the message of financial literacy, because people are receptive to it. People are starting to understand it now, and even if they don't understand it, they're just generally interested in financial and business topics, whereas, like you said, a couple of years ago, they might not have been, but now they are, so.
A question I have for you, you know, entrepreneurship is, like, really big right now. Everybody wants to do it. It's popular. But I think a lot of people are taking for granted the importance of being financially literate as an entrepreneur. So what are your thoughts on that?
Education is the root of life, right? And it's like, no matter what you do, you need to be educated on. And financial literacy, especially if you're an entrepreneur, you know, there's a reason why a lot of businesses fail, is because these people might be passionate, or they might be good at what they do, but they're not, they don't know how to run a business. Or they don't know how to, you know, keep books. They don't know how to keep track of their money and stuff like that. So it's one thing to be an entrepreneur. It's another thing to be a business person, a businessman or woman. So being an entrepreneur, actually just going out and starting a business, is only half of it. The finances is a major part of it. Probably more, the finance aspect is probably more important than the craft. Like, you could be the best barber in the world, if you don't know how to run a business, your barbershop is going to fail. So financial literacy is important for everybody, but especially for people that are self-employed, for entrepreneurs, because you don't have a safety net to fall back on. Like, if you're not financially literate and you have a job, you make bad decisions, but at least you got to get paid. You got a new opportunity every 2 weeks to make good decisions, because you're going to get paid, you get a retirement. So, you still have some kind of like safety net. If you're an entrepreneur, you make bad decisions, then you're going to be homeless if you have the money. Like, it's it. So.
Straight up. And I know you mentioned early on how you were a financial advisor. Are you still a financial advisor?
Yeah.
So that's super important, and that's like I want to ask you, because like I'll hear some people say like, man, I seen a financial advisor and they ain't really like give me no game for real. Like, me and Deanna, we actually even had an experience. This was like 2 years ago. We went to go see a financial advisor, and he was just like, oh, you guys make a nice amount of money. He was like, he didn't know. He was like, put it in the, what he said, put it in the 401k. And just like, he was like, the rest, take a vacation. He was like, It was like some bubble gum. I was like, yo, we out. I'm like, we not coming back. So like how we talked about how the education system needs to up their curriculum. Like, do you think in the finance realm, is it time for financial advisors to like, instead of having the same, like some of them have the same 401k, you know, IRA, do this. Like, do you think it's time for them to have more like game when it comes to that?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, like, it's not, it's like, like there's no, like no profession has, everybody is great, right? Some teachers are better than other teachers. Some bus drivers are better than other bus drivers. Same thing with financial advisors. You have lazy financial advisors. You have financial advisors that aren't really that smart, aren't really that educated. And you got really good financial advisors. So I think it's more so on the actual people to work with whoever you feel comfortable with. Don't just settle for anybody. Like you say, okay, well, this is the guy at my bank, so it is what it is. Like, you know, you want to, if you don't feel comfortable with the person that you met with, then you can meet with somebody else. Like, there's no shortage of financial advisors out there. So I would say to test the waters, to meet with different people, see who you feel comfortable with, who you have the best relationship with, the best rapport, and, you know, work with that person. But I wouldn't let one experience deter me from working with an advisor, because like I said, there's good, there's bad, there's somewhere in the middle. But the key is just to kind of see what works for you, who works for you, and what you feel comfortable with.
That's dope. That's dope info for real. And another something else I want to ask, do you? Because this is another conversation I have often where I tell people, where I'm saying, like, y'all have a problem because y'all spending y'all money foolishly for real. I tell a lot of people, and they be like, I don't make enough. So it's like, let's look at your like balance sheet and see what you're spending on. I guarantee you, it's some improvements you can make. But what, on average, do you think the problem is lack of income or lack of financial knowledge?
Both.
Both. Okay.
Both. Because I mean, ultimately, yeah, income is still going to play a major part. Like, even if you have a lot of financial knowledge, if you don't find a way to generate more revenue, if you're not making enough money, then you're still going to struggle financially. Right. So the key is to have information, knowledge, but then also to have money as well, right? So that'll help you, but ultimately you want to put yourself in positions, whether that's within your career, whether that's start a business, whether that's to start a side hustle, whatever. You have to kind of find a way to generate more revenue too. If you don't have enough money, you got to find a way to generate more revenue, because then, I mean, you can have all the information, but if you don't have the revenue in place, then it's going to be difficult.
That's real right there. Mm-hmm. That's real. You want to say something?
Are you good?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I forgot, it just slipped my mind. I forgot, it was going to be something else about Brandon. I forgot what it was, though. What the fuck was I about to say, man? I forgot what I was going to say. But let me ask you this. So this is on Brandon as well. Like, with you, like I said, I called on to you. This was, I don't even remember how many followers you had at the time, bro. But like I said, it was up there. Whenever your page was, you had way more pictures of yourself. It was like way more information on you. That was like a while ago. And I was just like, was everything, we always talk about action plans, being strategic. Was this something that you planned out like a year ago? Or was this something where it just like kind of came along? Because it seemed like, I get the sense that you're a strategic guy, so it seemed like this is shit you had planned out, written down, mapped out.
Yeah, both. I mean, as far as like the building my personal plan was something that I definitely planned out, and you know, but I didn't plan out the podcast at first. I did plan it out when we first started it, but it wasn't. I didn't have this vision. Like, my first vision for social media was like to build my own personal brand.
Right.
So the podcast was like really started as an extension just to build my own personal brand even further. But then the podcast became bigger than me personally. It just kind of took on a life of its own. So I had a plan for the podcast, but I didn't know that it was going to go in this direction. So now it's like, you know, it's like you got to make in-game adjustments.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, nothing ever goes like according 100% how you want it. You kind of just have a vision, but then things can go left, right, whatever, and things just kind of ride the wave.
That's cool, because somebody's like you said, you was a financial advisor, and you've been in finance for a minute, getting that game now, giving out game, and somebody might see like you and be like, damn, he popped off quick. You know what I'm saying? Like, that happened like quick, but you don't really see. Like, you probably been doing this 10 years or something. So that's really all that work. Like, I was watching somebody, I think he was talking, it was Tim Grover, that's Michael Jordan trainer. And he was saying how all the times him and Mike, like train for the like those certain like that shot he hit over Craig Elo in Cleveland. He was saying him and Mike shot that shot so many times where it was like in the game, you know what I'm saying? He already made that shot years ago just from practice. So that's the same, like that translates to you and what you're doing in business. Your shit already popped off because you've been putting yourself in position and training and getting knowledge, getting information. So it may seem like, oh man, he popped off quick. Nah, this shit was years of personal development, personal, you know, advancement. So that's what's like so dope about it to me, for real.
Mm-hmm. Nah, you're right. Nothing happens overnight, and people only see the success, but they don't see the work that was put in to actually reach that. So you're 100% right with that, for sure.
That's crazy, man.
And something I want to ask you is that you've already done like a lot for the culture and community as far as teaching others about financial literacy and putting everybody on the game about new stuff. For you, what is your ultimate goal, like your end goal as far as doing what you're doing? Like, how do you plan to scale everything that you're doing to the next level?
Just want to keep building it out. Also, we start to add educational components to our thing. So, like workshops, like online, we're going to have an online platform, different like in-person events, like live podcasts. So, just kind of just keep building it out vertically, and write a book. So yeah, for us, I mean, that's kind of the vision that we have. Those are a couple of things that we're working on. Then anything else that really makes sense that fits in our brand, add to that as well. So the key is just to kind of like just build off of it. Like the platform that we have now is great. We want to build that, but we also want to build little other stuff off of that platform. So it's like a tree.
That's so dope, man. Like I told BWR this as well. I want to tell you the same thing. Like what you doing, I just want to salute you for a second. Like what you doing is like, cause I feel like when you in the moment and you actually doing it, you probably don't really realize the impact for real. Cause you living it every single day and you're not paying attention to the impact for real. But being on the outside and seeing it, I just want to say salute to you, bro, for real. Cause the stuff you doing is something that you, like I said, you don't got to do that. So if you take a time to give out the information, giving out game to people, because I'm pretty sure it's changing a lot of people's lives, especially within our community. It's like I said, this is like the forefront within financial literacy in our community. I just want to say, we salute you, bro. You got our support with anything. Like, that's super, super dope to us, for real.
Thank you. I appreciate that, bro. Yeah, thank you.
Much love, bro. And I only got one more question for you. And I guess, yeah, this is kind of getting back to the community tip. We always ask people this, like, pretty much, like, yeah, do you feel like you have I don't know if I already asked this. Do you feel like you have an obligation to give back? And not just money, monetary, talking resource, access to resource, information, time, et cetera. Is that something that's been, like, put in you where you feel like, I got to do this?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, it's yeah. I think that I definitely always, you know, I think it's just human nature that you should want to help people.
Right.
You should want to try to, you know, give information if you have it. For sure. It's a balance. I mean, you can't just give away everything and burn yourself out.
Right.
But for me, yeah, I mean, that's just the way I was raised in the community. Like, it's just like a real community feel where I come from, and everybody kind of knows each other and all of that. So I was never like an isolated person where I just kind of just, you know, everybody just talks already and everybody shares information, whether it's good, bad, or whatever kind of information. So it's like, if I have some information, why would I not share it? Like, you know what I mean? It's not going to take away from me. Like, I remember we had a guest on the podcast and he was saying, like, you know, Michael Jordan taught you how to shoot a jump shot, he's still Michael Jordan. So if Tiger Woods taught you how to swing a golf club, like, he's still Tiger Woods. That doesn't hurt him to share information.
Right.
So I look at it like it's the same way. Like, it's not going to hurt me to educate people or to share some information. And then if you're like, yeah, it's no force on it. You can take it if you want. You cannot take it if you want. It's up to you. But yeah, that's how I look at it.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to end it. It's like it's really like a changing of the guard, for real. Because it's like back in the 80s and shit, 90s, it kind of seemed like people was getting game and they was just like holding it. Like, nah, I ain't giving this up. But now and today it's like, you corny for real. If you got game, you got shit. We obviously want you to burn yourself out, like you said. But give information back where you where that could help people. Like, if you ain't doing it, it's like, damn, you corny, bro. Like, you ain't help nobody for real. Like, damn, no. Like, yo, that's fucked up, bro, for real. But yeah, with that being said, bro, we just want to say we definitely appreciate you taking time to come on the podcast and chop it up with us for a second. And like I said, you got our support with anything, bro. Like, we appreciate you for real.
Nah, no problem, man. Thank you for having me, man. Much continued success to you guys. Sure.
Definitely, bro. Likewise. Appreciate you.
All right. Peace.
Well, that was another episode of the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast with Rashad Bilal. If you guys want to get in touch with him or listen to his podcast, you can find him on Instagram at Rashad Bilal. Or you can find his podcast on there at Earn Your Leisure Podcast. That's EARNYOURLEISURE. And you can get in touch with him, listen to the podcast. Definitely follow him on Instagram, listen to his podcast. They kicking out a lot of game every episode on both platforms. And and wrapping up, for those who don't know, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Xavier C. Miller. That's X-A-V-I-E-R-C Miller. And D, what's your info?
And you can find me on Instagram at Deanna Kent or Kent Real Estate. And then you can find me on Twitter at Deanna S. Kent.
And that's all we have for y'all. Appreciate y'all for listening. See y'all next episode. Peace.
On the way to the big check. You ain't know I'm up next, but I'm on the way. You ain't take a risk because you're too afraid. I'ma just eat till I'm overweight. On the way.
A whole lot of shit on the way.
On the way.